As a professionally trained chef, she had secured a position at an Upper East Side Michelin star restaurant. And if she did agree to come on board once the 100-room mansion was restored to its original magnificence, she would have the autonomy she'd craved since graduating culinary school. She would supervise her own staff at the family-owned business Taylor had planned to convert into a hotel and venue for weddings and private parties that could accommodate up to 300 guests. It would take some time before the property would be fully restored. And while Taylor didn't want a firm commitment from Viola, he did want her to consider it.
"I know a lot can happen in that time, but right now, I have to believe they're willing to get involved."
There was more than a hint of confidence in his prediction. His brothers Joaquin and Tariq seemed genuinely interested in becoming involved in the restoration of Bainbridge House, and Patrick had offered to oversee the financial component. He had worked for their father as a CPA after graduating college. Then he'd become involved with a woman whose father and uncles were winemakers. Patrick subsequently divided his time between working in their father's office and at a Long Island vineyard, and after a few years decided growing grapes and turning them into wine was his passion.
"We'll see,"
Viola replied, her voice skeptical.
"What I don't understand is why did Mama wait until now to tell us about the abandoned property?"
Taylor knew he had to be truthful with his sister because it would eventually come out that he'd known what Elise Williamson was prepared to reveal once all of her children were together for the first time since the passing of her husband of 49 years. That had been the second week in January. And now it was late March and Easter Sunday. It was a Williamson family tradition for everyone to get together at Easter. Conrad's death was unexpected because at 74, he hadn't exhibited any health issues. Elise said he'd complained of feeling tired and had gone to bed earlier than usual. And sometime during the night, he died from what the medical examiner documented as natural causes. From that time until now, Taylor had established a routine of sharing dinner with his mother the first Sunday of the month.
"Mom kind of hinted to me that she had some news that involved all five of us, and if we were amenable, it would change our lives," Taylor admitted.
"Did she tell you that Daddy had inherited a huge old house sitting on 300 acres in North Jersey?"
Taylor stretched his right arm over the back of Viola's headrest when traffic came to a complete standstill.
"He'd wanted to leave earlier to get back to Connecticut before 10.
But first, he had to drop his sister off in Greenwich Village. And with the buildup of holiday traffic, he estimated he'd probably make it home sometime around midnight.
"She did tell me a couple of months ago that Dad had left us some property, and he'd talked about restoring it once he retired. He'd gone so far as to file for permits and approval for variances to convert the property from residential to commercial. But we all know that golfing took precedence over everything."
After their father sold his private equity venture capitalist company, he'd hired a golf pro to teach him the game. The only time he wasn't on the green was when it rained or snowed.
"Since Daddy's gone and a developer wanted to buy the property, why wouldn't Mom sell it?"
Again, Taylor met Viola's large hazel eyes, and he noticed the dark circles under the brilliant orbs.
He didn't know whether she wasn't getting enough sleep or she was putting in too many hours at the restaurant.
"She told me when Dad updated his will, he'd wanted her to keep the property in the family."
Viola bit her lip. "I don't want to sound callous, but there's nothing keeping her from not honoring a dead man's wishes."
Taylor removed his...